I could preach about a lot of things. There'll be a lot of preachers get up in their pulpits this morning. They'll preach on gender problems, and inflation problems, and all the problems that we're facing. But I'll be honest with you. They'll preach politics. Chad, I didn't come to preach politics this morning. I didn't even come to preach about all of our ills, because the answer to all of our ills is Christ. I just tell you what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to preach about Jesus. I'm going to take 30, 40 minutes or whatever it takes to lift him up. We magnify everything. But let's be honest about it. We'd be hopeless and helpless without Christ. I see Sister Karen back today. Good to see you. And Sister Elkins, good to see you. And others that hadn't been here a while because of sickness, glad you're here. And I know when you've been shut in and you couldn't come to church, there was a sweet Savior that was there with you. Somebody say amen. Numbers chapter 24. You said you're finding Christ there? Well, come with me and see if we can. And then I want you to, if you can, at the same time, go to the book of Esther. You said, what does Numbers and Esther have to do with each other? I'll show you in a moment. Just find Numbers 24, verse 15 through 17, and then put your hand probably about Esther chapter 4, and we'll move into there in just a moment. I'm glad I'm saved. How about you? Here's what the Bible said in Numbers 24. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said. He has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, fallen into a trance, but having his eyes open. I like this verse. I shall see him. But not now. I shall behold him, but not now. Now there shall come a star out of Jacob. I'm interested in this next word. And a scepter shall rise up out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. Our Father, in the world we live of crisis and chaos, I am glad for Jesus, our scepter. I'm glad that we're serving a great God that's on the throne. And I'm glad that you've extended your love toward us through Christ Jesus. Help me to preach this morning with power, with unction, with authority. I have prepared, but Lord, the preparation means nothing. It's the saturation. It's the hearts. I pray you open the hearts of this people that's under my voice this morning, that they'll be helped and blessed. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know the story of Balaam. Many of you know that Balak hired him to curse God's people. Well, that didn't work. Amen. By the way, you can hire whoever you want to curse us, but we are God's people. And God won't, hey, listen, they won't nothing happen to us unless God allows it to happen to us. Somebody say amen right there. Hey, you know the story how a donkey brought him a message. You said, you mean a donkey brought him a message? Yeah, a donkey brought him a message. But in this passage of scripture, Balaam gives a prophecy. He talks about a star, capital S, and he talks about a scepter, capital S, that would come out of Israel. I want all y'all to know, without even going very far in this message, that star and that scepter is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the living star. One place in the Bible calls him the day star. I'm glad one day that day star shined into my dark, gloomy, lost, depraved heart and translated me from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. He's a living star, but also he's a living scepter. Amen. I'm interested in that scepter part this morning. Jesus is our scepter. See, the scepter, Chad, is a picture or symbol of power. Those scepters could be anywhere from 3 foot, and they had a little knob on them, a little gold knob, and had a seal on it also. It had the seal of the king. And some of them would even range to 4 or 5 feet. And what they were a symbol of, they were a symbol, number one, of power. Thank God for that. Or authority. Or the man that calls the shots. I want you to know, you may be thinking you're living in a life of crisis and chaos, and it seems like a devil's called the shots. But I want you to know something. The devil can't even touch you without the permission of Almighty God himself. And there's a God in heaven, a God in heaven that still calls the shots. Not only is it a symbol of a power, it's a symbol of a person. Amen. Said he'll rise up out of Israel. Colossians says this, Christ, the power of God. Oh, I want you to know this morning, he has power. He had power to give sight to the blind. He had power to give hearing to those that were deaf. He even had power to raise people from the grave. He even had power to raise his own self from the grave. I'm thankful we're serving a Jesus that has all power. But also the scepter speaks of pardon and peace. And I want you to now turn with me to Esther, if you would. I just wanted to lay the foundation. I want to say something as you turn to Esther chapter 4. This is an amazing statement that I'll say. God's name is not mentioned one time in the book of Esther. How many of y'all knew that? God's name is not mentioned once. So what are you saying, Preacher Smith? God forsook Esther? God wasn't there in her life? I say nay. He was there. By the way, I didn't see his name once, but I saw him all over that book. First of all, I saw his sovereignty in that book. You said, how you see that? In chapter 1, there was the king's wife was named Vashti. She was a heathen. And the king asked her to do a filthy dance. And what she said? No. No. And you said, she said no. I believe Almighty God put that no in her. And her no brought to this situation heard and saying no left a void in the kingdom for a queen. And they had a beauty pageant. And the king didn't know it, but God knew it. He enlisted a little Jewish girl named Esther into the beauty pageant, not knowing that God was going to take that young lady and use her to deliver the children of Israel from destruction. I see the sovereignty of God. Sometimes when we go through crisis and we feel like I can't find him here and I can't find him here and I can't find him there and I can't find him there, I want you to know somewhere in the shadows stands Jesus, and he's right there all along with his providence and his sovereignty and his control, and you'll never lose control because he never loses control. We see sovereignty, but also we see God through his star. You know what Esther's name was? You know what it meant? It meant star. God didn't personally come and shine, but I tell you what he done. He took a star called Esther and shined through them. I want you to know I'm glad God's still saving people and they're making a difference and shining to this lost and dying world. Amen. I want you to know we need some people to shine at work. Yeah. Yes, sir. We need some people to shine in their homes. The home's in such a mess, Chad mentioned. I'm counseling all the country. I'm counseling preachers in, I counseled one last week from Iowa. I had a church member from Arkansas call me to ask me advice. And they said, the pastor just knew me and he said, maybe I could help him. I've had people all in this community. I've got so inundated, people looking for answers. I've got so inundated, Chad's my right hand. I've been putting some of it off on him. Physically, I can't do it all. But I want you to know I'm not the answer. A counselor's not the answer. But I'll tell you who the answer is this morning. Here's what we got to do in every situation, whether it's your home, whether it's our nation, whether whatever it is, we need to point them to Jesus. And kids, you can be a light in your school. I want to share this. We always talk negative about teenagers. I'm going to talk positive this morning. We had a great group of teenagers Wednesday night. And some of them brought their friends. We had five first-time friends. And one of those first-time friends got saved Wednesday night. He's a ball player. Now, I didn't embarrass him, and I wouldn't have done that for the world. But I tell you what, he heard the word, raised his hand, said he was lost, and then prayed the prayer right there in his seat, raised his hand, and got saved. I want you to know, kids, they'll tell you you can't shine in your school. They'll tell you that schools are blocked, but they are not blocked because, ladies and gentlemen, you can't take the star out of you. All you've got to do is shine, 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 and Esther shine. I'm trying to get to my message, Chad. So we see God's sovereignty. We see God's star. But here's the message. I see God's scepter. God's scepter. Would you look at Esther 4 with me for a moment now? And the Jews were in trouble, weren't they? There was a man named Haman. By the way, Haman's picture of the devil that wanted to destroy them. By the way, I tell you who wants to destroy your life. I'll tell you, the author of alcohol, and the author of pornography, and the author of drugs, and the author of marriage problems, and the author of gender problems, I'll tell you who the author of all that is. It's none other than Satan. Amen. But look at the passage, would you? I'm going to give you the setting. Look at chapter 4. Please follow me. Verse number 8. Also, he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, destroy the Jews, to show it unto Esther and declare it unto her and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. And Hattach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hattach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, all the king's servants and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the scepter. Here's what it said. You cannot approach the king unless you've been invited. And if you come uninvited, you're going to die. Because there's a broken connection. But if you find favor, the king will reach out his scepter. And when he reaches out his scepter, that scepter brings you into connection with the king. I want y'all all to know, number one, our Jesus, our scepter, establishes a connection. We cannot approach the king. We're sinful. We're ungodly. We're wasted. We are filthy. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. We cannot bridge the gap. We cannot approach the king unless there be a scepter. But I am glad this morning to tell you there is one mediator between God and man, and his name is Christ Jesus. He established the connection. You know why you can get to God? You know why you can approach God this morning? You can't approach him where you are, but you can approach him because of his son. Amen. 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 Woo! By the way, Moses came to approach God, and God said, "Ain't no man seen my face any time." You know where God had to put him? In the cleft of the rock. And God passed by, and all Moses saw was his hinder parts. And his face glowed. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, Chad, is the express image of the Almighty God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten. I want you to know, one day upon a cross, God sent his hand, son. He was the scepter. He was Zach. He was the mediator. My sins were laid upon him. I'll tell you something. That's why we preach in his name. That's why we pray in his name. Let it help me. That's why we praise in his name. Hey, by the way, he's the only name under heaven whereby men can be saved. It don't bother the world if you pray in the name of God. It don't bother the world if you pray in the name of Allah. You mention Jesus, everybody's mad. But I want you to know they try to stamp him out. They tried to destroy him. They tried to do everything to stop him. But he's still alive. And he came from the grave. And he's still available. And he is your connection to Almighty God. I'll tell you, God was manifested in the flesh. Somebody help me. Seen of angels. Justified in the spirit. Seen of the Gentiles. Believed on this in this world, received in glory. God was in Christ reconciling the world. He started in a virgin tomb. Then God shed his blood for the church. Was buried in a borrowed grave. But on the third day he arose. And established a connection. But then I want to go one step farther about the scepter. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Whew, this one right here. I'm going to get my breath a little bit because I'm going to shout a little bit right now. Is that all right? Not only did he establish a connection, but this right here makes this one this fabulous preacher want to just shout over glory. He ends condemnation.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here without Christ, you're a walking dead man.
Amen.
You are condemned already.
Amen.
Haman was working behind the scenes to destroy them. He that believeth not is condemned already. But look at chapter 5 and verse 2. I'm starting to get happy here. Can I give you some advice this morning? You're hopeless without Christ. Helpless without Christ. You need to run to him. Would y'all follow me in your scripture? Look at Esther 5 and 2. And it was so. When the king saw Esther, the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. And Esther drew near. Ain't nothing bring you near but God. And she put her hand. She touched the scepter. Somebody, am I preaching? You know what she done before? She came in. She beautified herself. She got real pretty. I want you to know something. She got all of her best clothes on. All you got to read is the chapter prior. But I want you to know something. That ain't what got her help. It was touching the scepter.
Amen.
Look at verse number 3. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? And it shall be even given to the half of the kingdom. And you don't find the request till chapter 7, verse 3. And the request was, let my people go. I'll tell you what happened to her. The king pardoned her condemnation. I want y'all to know something. I couldn't dress up much when I came to Jesus. I was an old, filthy, rotten, dirty, depraved sinner. But I didn't come to him with my righteousness. If you're in this room and say, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm pretty righteous. I'm even a member of moral groups. Ladies and gentlemen, that morality, that righteousness will do nothing but send you to hell. Here's what you got to do. You got to reach out and touch the scepter. Somebody help me preach. Religion won't save you. I'll tell you how you got to come. You got to come on the basis of the blood of Christ. January 31st, 1973, at Pinch Baptist Church, I came an old rotten sinner. Not on my own, not bringing anything, but I came believing because of what Christ done on Calvary's cross. That was enough for me. She responded to the king. I want you to know something. I said that religion won't help you. Laying a hold on baptism won't help you. Laying a hold on good works won't help you. I tell you, the only hope you have is in redemption and in a relationship with Christ Jesus. I say what you need to do. There's one rule you need to keep this morning, and that's to run to Jesus. And grab a hold of Jesus. I've heard this story. I like it. There's a man drowned him one day. Right out in the river, about 5 feet out. He was drowned. And a man got up and threw him a rope. Now, I'll tell you what he could have done. He could have looked at the rope and said, that's a pretty good rope. Looked like it might hold me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can look at Christ. You can admire Christ. But until you are a partaker of Christ, you'll never be saved. You got to care out. You got to grab hold of it. Now, I know the Calvinists. Here's what they believe about the rope. They believe you throw the rope out, then God goes down with the rope underneath the sea, the water, ties you up and brings you out. Nay. God gave you a responsibility. You gotta receive Christ. You gotta repent of your sin. You gotta see yourself lost. And all you can need to do once you do that is grab a hold of Jesus. Well, they say we can't do that because you're born to be saved. You're born to be lost. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to hell, you'll go over the blood. You'll go over Jesus. You'll go over God's reach. I'm about done. Lastly, turn to chapter 8 and verse 3. And I'll finish. What have I said so far, Chad? The scepter establishes a connection. Ain't none of us can get to God unless we come by Jesus. Receiving the scepter ends our condemnation, for there is therefore now no condemnation. But look at this. I'm about ready to shout. There's one more thing the scepter does. It extends communion. Look at verse 3. And Esther spake yet before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Listen. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. It saved her, but now she was going to do something else. I tell you what, when I got saved, How many believe this? When I got saved, how many did this? When I got saved, I wanted to tell somebody else about Jesus. And here's what she said, I want you to let my people go. And Haman was getting ready to hang them all. And he got hung on his own rope. And the devil's trying to destroy all y'all. But I want you to know at the Calvary's cross, Jesus stamped his head. There's going to be a day he's going to be cast into hell forever. I want to tell you something. There's people in here that are, you're not lost, but you've got problems. It may be marital, it may be some other kind of problem, but I want you to know because of Jesus, you can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace.
Amen.
And help in the time of need. In this day we're living, we need to flock to our churches. We need to flock around our Bible. We need to lift up Jesus Christ because he extends communion. Oh, I tell you what old preacher Smith needs. He just needs a closer walk with Jesus. I tell you what we need. There's some of us, you are in this room, you got problems. You're inundated with situations that's bigger than you are. Why do you sit in your seat? Why do you linger back? Well, all you need to do is come up here and touch the scepter. Come up here and receive Christ, or come up here and ask Christ for favor. Bow your head with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Chad will be coming up and help me a little bit here in a minute. Every head bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. I may right now say, preacher, I know if I died today, there was a day in my life I trusted Christ. I touched that scepter. And I know if I died, I'd be in heaven. How many right now saved would raise your hand if you're saved? Thank you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavily laden, I'll give you rest. How many in this room, maybe you made a religious profession, but you're not sure you're saved. You're in this room, you're lost. And before you die, before the Lord comes, you need to be saved. Would you raise your hand right now and just say by that, pray for me. Pray for me. Just pray for me. Bless that hand in the back. Somebody else. How many Christians in this room has a problem? You got something bigger than you ever faced in your life. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's a marital problem. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's some situation that you can't control. But this morning he said, I got communion with you. How many got a problem in your life that you need God to help you with this morning? You need Jesus. Slip your hand up. Just a problem. Come on, slip them up all. With everybody standing, why don't everybody in this room that has a problem come around this altar? There's people coming right now. You might need a miracle. Why don't you come? That's right. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe, I don't know what's going on. But God says, come. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus, our scepter, that you reach out and touch this morning. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Are you coming?